Praise the name of Jesus. Somebody excited, wave your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Say it again, thank you, Jesus. You are blessed. I will serve you, Lord, with every breath that I take. I will serve you, Lord. This promise I make, should eternity ends, start all over again, even then I will serve you. I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you. With every breath I take, breath that I take, I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you. Promise I make, should eternity end, start all over again, start all over again. Even then, I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you, Lord. With every breath I take, I will serve you, Lord. This promise I made, should eternity end, start all over again, even then, I will serve you. Sing again, I will serve you, with every breath I take, I will serve you. This promise I make, should eternity end, start all over again, even then I will serve you. Should eternity end, start all over again, even then I will serve you, Lord. Raise your hand, renew your commitment to the Lord. I will serve you every day of my life. I will serve you, Lord, with my heart, with my might, with my soul. I will serve you, Lord. I will serve you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Heavenly Father, we receive grace to serve you more, to serve you better, in the name of Jesus. Thank you again for all you've taken us through the last 4 days, concluding today. Receive our thanks in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' wonderful name. Please give God a big hand and take your seat. If that clap is for the Lord, make it bigger. For the wonderful question and answer time we've just had, as anchored by Bishop Thomas Aremu, let's give God a big hand again. Just as remarked, in one of his responses, if there are issues that is questionable or that are questionable about any of our leaders, either pastors or leaders and members of the statutory bodies, feel free to make report. Reporting an issue is not necessarily digging somebody's feet. It is systematic or systemic attention that is being called for. Because if you see evil in one place and you don't report or stop it, it will spread to other places. You are looking for the address, you can use the same address that is being used for submitting our questions. It will reach us. And as usual, we'll act promptly. But please make sure you don't write in animosity. That is, your name must be there, your telephone must be there, so that you can be reachable. If you are standing for the truth, you don't need to fear. Let's make sure that that is done. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. Well, I bring goodwill to you from God's servant, the apostle over this commission, Bishop David Oyedepo. We are all aware that he can be everywhere, and that's why we are here on his behalf, to put things in order and ensure that the system is running without any hitch. At the closing of this session, each of us shall be receiving prophetic blessing for your rewards. The Lord will reward you. Say louder, amen. In this last session, we are looking at the subject matter caption, extolling the sacredness of the mandate. And what do we mean by that? There is this book I'm holding in my hand, published in 2012. Most of us, if not all of us, must have seen this book. That is the book we are referring to as The Mandate. It contains details on our structure in local assembly, within the states, within the nation, and all across the continents of the world. The mandate is applicable to all of our church operations and parachurch operations. What do we mean by parachurch? Our education commission and other activities and operations that may come up in the process of time. This is our reference book, next to the Bible. Next to the Bible, this is the most valuable book in this ministry. This is our operational manual. And we also have what we call the Administrative Policy Handbook, which helps to interpret the mandate on issues that may not be as clear. So we have the structure, we have the policies, and we have the procedures. So this book is supportive of the mandate. It's explanatory of the policies that are contained in the mandate. And it's important for all of us to do whatever you can to get a copy so that you can be well acquainted with the operation of the system. If you are not knowledgeable about what goes on in the ministry, you cannot maximize your stay there, especially as a leader. So we encourage all of us to have copies of these. And it's our reference point, as I mentioned earlier. When there are issues not clear, we pick it up. Even the president makes reference to it. Every time we are meeting, this book is on the table. So if there are arguments, we simply say, let's refer to the mandate. And whatever the mandate says is final. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. Just like we have constitutions of nations, this is our own constitution. Constitution of the nation of the winners. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is our reference point. Praise the Lord. Now, First Corinthians chapter 14 verse 40 makes it very clear that we serve a God of law and order. Law. God rules by laws. God rules by order. And He demands that everything be done decently and in order. Where there are no rules, no order, there will be chaos. All of us see what happens in traffic, for instance. Anybody, an average driver in Nigeria, can enter anywhere. The moment there is where to pass the car through, he's ready to move anyhow, including pavement. He doesn't care if the tire is affected. He wants to quickly get to where he's going to. Any small opening, you see him flying. Disorderliness, chaos is what manifests where there is no order. The cure to chaos is orderliness. We also serve a God of patterns. Patterns. Exodus chapter 24, verse 40. God told Moses, see to it that you build according to the pattern, according to the pattern which is shown unto you. So, every ministry is run by laws and patterns. Laws and patterns. Now, Moses was on the mountain for 40 days in prayer and fasting. By the time he was departing from the mountain, God did not only give him anointing, he gave him tables, laws, pattern. One could not contain it, so he made it two. It's as important. He got one anointing and got two tables. That is to say, no matter how anointed a leader or a system is, if there are no laws, the anointing will kill everybody there. This is very important. Those of us who are very much exposed and are able to make study and analysis, you discover that many organizations, including churches, are short-lived because there are no laws. Anything goes. Anywhere anything goes, everything will go wrong. He gave him tables containing the law and containing patterns to follow. Now, some people ask questions. Why are we not teaching this in this ministry? We are not teaching them because they are not part of the pattern. There is no ministry that teaches the whole Bible. If you find any, it will not last. Every ministry is apportioned with particular subjects of scriptures to focus on. Just like we have specialists in the medical field, in construction, and in different other fields. We have different, you know, operators. We have specialists. And each of them focus on their area. You cannot become a professor in general physics. No. Why are we not teaching on marriage as a great subject matter? Is it because we don't believe in it? No, we believe in it. But it is not given to us as our focus. Does it make some sense, please? Now, if you are not satisfied, you can go to where they make it the major teaching. Nobody will stop you. That's why we have many doors in the church. If you are not satisfied with what's been taught, you carry your cap and leave. And nobody will question you, where are you going to? Why are we not teaching about heaven and rapture? Is it that we don't believe in it? Very much so. Very much so. But it is not our focus of teaching. It's not our focus of teaching. We are following patterns. We have, for instance, what is called the 12 pillars of the commission. And each of the pillars runs through every month. It's a syllabus we are running. We go through it, the 12th this year, the following year we go through it. But you can be sure that each of those pillars is focused on at least 1 month in a year. And if God gives you pattern, you cannot query him. That's what he has assigned to you. And that's what he will use to appraise you and to judge you at the end of the day. This ministry is not a ministry that goes this way, go this way, and check the new revelation in television and bring it to the church. No. We are being ruled in this ministry by law and pattern. Please say with me, law and pattern. Say it again, please. If you believe and agree with it, say it one more time. Law and pattern. Law. And it will interest you to know that we can never, never embrace everybody. It's not possible. Even in the ministry of Jesus, there were those who were preaching that were not part of his disciples. The disciples came to him and said, Master, we saw some people casting out demons in your name, but they are not part of us. Should we stop them? Jesus said, don't stop them. As long as they are not preaching against us, we are together. There are churches and ministries that are similar to these, but are not same with this. And they will never be the same. And we are never advocating they should be the same. There are people in this neighborhood, very immediate neighborhood, who have never entered Canaan yet. Why? They are not sent here. You have invited them 50 times. They will not come. Why? They are not assigned to be here. And it is safe for us. If such people come here, they will cause us trouble. So, for as long as they are in the faith and they are going to make heaven, let them remain where they are. But people who are ordained to be in this ministry will come from anywhere and from everywhere. That's why some of us who are seated here, you know the distance you cover every day. It's never far for you. They say Monday there is service. Amen. I'm ready. It's just one leg that we used to cross to reach Canaan land. Why? You are sent to be here. There are people who will never leave this church, no matter what happens. Why? They are sent to be here. There are people that everything we teach here suits them. You never find them complaining. Why? Because they are sent to be here. When you find people who are questioning what we teach, what we believe, you should ask them, go and pray. Maybe God doesn't want you here. Stay for, that's why boldly we tell people on the altar, if you stay here for 3 months and your life does not change, please, you are free to go. Maybe we are not the appropriate nurses and doctors to cater for you so that you won't die in our hand. Praise the Lord. Is it making some sense, please? So, every ministry, every calling operates on these two legs. Law and pattern. Law. And this is what this book stands for. In this book, you will find our pattern of ministry and the law that guides us. Laws. Laws. Any ministry that does not have laws will be low. That's why we don't joke with this. Next to the Bible, like I said, this is our reference point. If you don't like this book, you cannot survive in this church. You can't survive because we keep making reference to it. Choosing our leadership, we make reference to it. Dedication of children, we make reference to it. Child naming, we make reference to it. All the details are here. Soul winning endeavor, we make reference to it. Pastor ministration, we make reference to it. Pastor staying long on the altar beyond the time allowed. Somebody is there to pull him down. Pastor, you have done enough. Let service close. So we have policies and we have policemen who help to police the policy. That's why we have all of the statutory bodies. They are there as police. They are policing the pastor. The pastor is policing them. Amen. Not necessarily looking for faults of people, but guiding ourselves to be sure that nobody goes wrong. Say loud amen. No organization void of structure has a future. If you want a future, put together a structure. Now, this entire building is made up of structures. We have the floor structure, which we call the foundation. We have the pillars. We have the beams. We have the roof. That is the only way to guarantee the future of this building. Of course, we have blocks, which represent members. That's why members come, members go, the church remains. The most protective thing in any building is the structure. The structure. We hear the news several times where you will find natural disaster, flood, all of those stuff. If you watch many of them, you see the glasses down, you see the blocks down, but the pillars are standing. In most cases, no matter the wind that blows, you see the pillars, the beams. Even when the roofing sheet is off, the roof beams are there. That structure. There are certain churches today, if the members leave, the church will be down. Why? No structure. The most respected church in the world today is the Catholic. What's keeping Catholic? Structure. You are free to go. There are a lot of people who move from Catholic, including the number of people here. Am I right? But they are still there. What's keeping them? Structure. Few years ago, they had plenty of crises, but the structure is still standing. The structure is still standing. And we have several other churches like that. Even though spiritually we call them dead, but they are still alive. How are they alive? The structure has been there. If the roof sheet of a building removes, that's not the end of the building. No. If the blocks are tampered with, that's not the end of the building. It's a matter of putting back the blocks and putting back the roofing sheet. But if the structures are not there, the building will be level flat. This is the reason why we are promoting the subject of structure in this commission. In the word of God's servant, the apostle by this commission, hear this. As I read, it is the structure that determines the strength. Say with me, strength. Say it again, please. The strength. Every church is as strong as the structure. It also determines growth. Growth. Where there is no structure, there cannot be growth. It's just like putting blocks on foundation that is not well built. It's a waste of energy. It also determines the stability and the efficiency. Let me go over it again. Structure determines strength, stability, growth, and efficiency. It is not skill or expertise. The structure. Without a viable structure, there can be no enviable future for any organization, including the church. It is efficient structure that sustains impact and continuity of any organization. Psalm 90 verse 17, establish, O Lord, the works of our hands. To let you know how much God believes in structure, he directed Jethro to help Moses. Moses was very anointed. Now, he was running a system before he went to the mountain to take the table from the Lord. In chapter 18, he will sit down from morning to night to attend to everybody that comes. He was such a compassionate man, but he was not wise. You can be anointed, you can be compassionate, and be a fool. Because people will kill you if you allow them. There must be structure put in place. And so Moses' father-in-law came and gave him the wisdom to apply, even though he was not a believer. He was a priest of heathen God. But he was wiser than Moses. So he admonished Moses that if God allows him, he should set up structure. He should put structure in place with hierarchy definition, with job description, with analysis of flow of authority. And once Moses took note of that, his life was sustained. He would have died before 120. In the first church, we saw how the Holy Spirit inspired the structuring of that church. They began to grow in chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5. They were almost scattered. The first church should have closed and ended in chapter 5. Because in early chapter 6, murmuring and complaining commenced among women. They were opening their eyes to see how distribution of food is being made. They called themselves to one side. Which tribe do you belong to? Just watch it. When it comes to the turn of Robo, you see 50 bags of rice. If it's Ibira, only 2 bags. Can you see the way they are treating us here? Everything was centered around the apostles then. So they decided to separate the altar from the table. They separated administration from ministration. That's what they did. They appointed deacons to help to cater for the physical and material needs of the people so they can focus on the altar. That's why in one of the teachings we taught us about open accountability, integrity, and all of that, and all of that, so that we can spread our leadership network. So structure is about division of labor, yet in harmony, in oneness, and guided by operational manual. Praise the Lord. Our meeting point is the operational manual. May I therefore quickly present to us the summary of why the mandate. Number one, it is to secure the posterity of the commission. To secure the posterity of this commission. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. To secure the posterity of the ministry. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never collapse. Number two, is to standardize the organizational structure. To standardize. Now, the things we put here are things that we have tested and tried and proven over the years. They were ideas that have grown into ideal. What we call an ideal thing is product of ideas that are tested and proven over a period of time. This book did not emerge until 30 years after the ministry commenced. When we have tested and proven and come to a point of constance on the various subject matter being addressed in this book. So, this is an ideal book for this commission, as it were. It's an ideal book. Where we are going to have changes on any subject is the reason why we have the policy, administrative policy handbook. But we are not going to be changing the mandate every year. If there are things to be supported in the mandate, we'll quickly put it here. Because the human nature and human system demands that we keep changing and improving. There are new evils being devised by the devil. So we also have to adjust to catch up with those things. Praise the Lord. There are things that never occur to us that may happen at all. But now we see them happening, we make our adjustment. And we put the adjustment in the administrative policy handbook. Say loud amen. You have used the mandate to standardize the organizational structure and circulate the same among the operators. Acts chapter 16, verses 4 and 5. They had the first administrative setup in chapter 6 as mentioned, and then in chapter 16, verse 4, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees to keep. Decrees. The first church was operating by decrees, by law, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And after doing that, so were the churches established. So me established. I didn't hear you very well. Now, there is time for growth, there is time for establishment. In chapter 6, they grew. Chapter 16, they were established. The word, prayer, will grow the church. But only book, administrative book, that will stabilize the church. Some of us are aware of churches that have grown in this nation, but you can't find them again. The man of God there is still alive, but no stability. Everything is scattered. The church will grow by the word and prayer, but will be established by wisdom. By wisdom. By structure. By structure. That's why we have said the future. The rise of any church is by the word and prayer, but the future of the church is by structure. By structure. By structure. You can deliver children free and you are happy. But if you don't guide your children with family structure, you will suffer for them. And of course, children in your house will not like the structure you have put in place. They say, oh, daddy, you are too tough. Oh, mommy, you are too hard. Any small thing, you say, sit down here. You say, stand up there. You say, wake up. Because as they grow, you have to structure them. If you don't structure them, you will rupture them. Any church without structure is heading to be ruptured. So also is our organization, various business organizations and all of that. Number three, the mandate seeks, the mandate also documents our doctrines. Doctrines. Any church that does not have standard doctrines cannot last. What do we mean by doctrine? Principles. Principles. The things that are allowed and the things that have been disallowed. There are things that may be allowed in other churches, but it's not allowed here. How? Based on the pattern. On the pattern. Not man-made. God telling his servant, this is how this should be done. So we have doctrines. We have values. We have ministerial ethics. We have our biblical, you know, mysteries. We have our training programs. And we have our special services. Like I said, not everybody may have to like what we are doing here. And we are not necessarily wanting everybody to like what we are doing. It is custom made programs for people who are designed to be here. And when they come, they will hear their spirit say to them, this is the place. They stay, adjust, and line up with everything going on. If you have difficulty lining up with what is going on, please query your coming. Query your coming. And in order not to be injured, quickly seek exit. This church is not necessarily after number. No. It's a camp where people have been raised and prepared for triumph and for the coming of Jesus Christ.
If it doesn't suit you, you are free to find your way. So if you find in any place a pastor preaching what the ministry does not believe, preaching what is outside of the 12 pillars of the commission, please advise him. And if he doesn't listen to advice, let us know, so we can know what to do with him. We have had situations where some members wrote us that this pastor is not following what we are doing here. If we don't remove him, we will remove the roof. Amen. So we have to quickly remove him so he can line up with what is right to be done. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. Also, by the mandate, we want to see the commission move from growth to establishment. What more? The mandate is about ensuring uniformity of standard in all facets of the commission. Uniformity. Now, those of you who have been in Catholic before, any Catholic church you step into, you smell Catholic. You feel Catholic. It's natural. You step in there, it's like you are in the Vatican. Because everything is standardized. You don't get disappointed if you're a Catholic that you enter into any Catholic church. And the same is happening with us. When you step into any church in this ministry, you feel like you are in the winner's assembly. Am I right? You feel like you are in winner's assembly. And this teaches us about compliance with the mandate. Compliance with the things God has delivered to us as a ministry. So if you find a pastor doing something different, he's not part of us. And don't spare him. Don't spare him. Every genuine winner knows how the system operates. One of our leaders went to Kotangora in Niger State. It was a church of less than 500 people. When he returned back to the headquarter here, he went and met Papa. He said, "Papa, I didn't miss church at all. I didn't miss church at all." He said, "That young man, very vibrant. It was like Papa preaching." Some people wonder, must I preach and teach like our leader? You have to. In the ministry of Jesus, even though he didn't tell them to be preaching like him, they were preaching like him. They were dressing like him. In so much that when Jesus was to be arrested, they couldn't identify him. They were all looking alike with their dresses. Until Judas went and gave him a kiss as agreed in his contract. Amen. The terms of reference of the contract is that just watch it when you see me moving to close. And Jesus knew what he was going to do. He said, "Judas, Judas, Judas." He said, "It doesn't matter. I'm not Judas today. I'm your betrayer. I've taken money to kill you." So they behave like Jesus. It's not what you mimic. It is what flows into you. It's natural. When you stand truly with your heart, with your leaders, you find the same grace flowing through you, the same spirit flowing through you, the same language, the same pattern, the same appearance, the same ministration. You just can't depart from it. In so much as after Jesus left, they looked at them and said, "Oh, these ones, they have been with Christ. They have been with Christ." Even to the members, they started calling them little Christ, Christians. That's how every system should be. You can't escape it. Some people are just being funny, asking such questions that are not answerable. Can you be in a place and not be influenced by the place? No. It's natural. And it should be encouraged, because therein lies the flow of grace and power. Therein lies the flow of grace and power. If you don't line up with the operation in the church, you can never operate with the grace of the church. No. You cannot enjoy the grace at work in the church if you don't line up with the leadership grace. It's not possible. So every church in this ministry is a reflection of Canaan land. This is our fireplace. Canaan land is our fireplace. Canaan land is our Jerusalem. It's our Jerusalem. And the earlier you realize it, the better for you. Otherwise, you won't enjoy the grace at work here. It's our fireplace. It's our fireplace. So when you find a pastor in a church that does not want to connect when we are told to connect to Canaan land, because he wants to promote his own ministry, it can't work. It won't last. Very soon he will be exposed. Every pastor, every elder, every deacon and other leaders should be so excited anytime we are talking about what comes from the headquarters. The disciples of Jesus were resorting constantly to Jerusalem. Let's go to Jerusalem. When they had issues, the issue of decrees was settled in Acts chapter 16 in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, with Peter as the head of the apostles. He was their pope. James was the administrator. He was the one who arranged the administrative policies and procedures. It was the wisdom of the leaders. Peter was the anointing of the leaders. John was the human relation manager. He was one working in love. He was a manager of love. He's one encouraging people, exhorting people, don't let us fight. Let us come together. Let us be united. Let us be unified. Peter would drop the anointing. John will put the people together, and James will put the decrees down. That's the way they operated. Uniformity. Please say with me, uniformity. Say it again, uniformity. So if you have any issue, you don't have to travel all the way to the headquarters. Neither do you have to travel all the way to mission head office in Goshen. This book is our book of uniformity. That's why we publish it widely and ensure that everything has it. In conclusion, the mandate is all about presenting who we are as a church, what we do, and why we do it, and how we organize ourselves to do it. I repeat that again. In this book, you find who we are, who are winners. Number two, what we do. The things we do are contained in this book. So anything not in this book are not the things to be done. Why we do it. Now, for everything we do, you find a biblical explanation to it. Biblical explanation. Making references to relevant scriptures. And how we organize to do it. How do we conduct covenant naming? How do we conduct dedication of children? How do we conduct marriage solemnization? How do we conduct groundbreaking? How do we conduct church dedication? Those details are there. How do we conduct covenant hour of prayer? How do we conduct midweek service? How do we administer the communion? How do we administer the anointing? And watch it. Every true follower, you see them doing it as it is being done in our Jerusalem. As contained in the book. What we do, why we do them, how we do them. There is nothing that is without clarity in this book. That's why it's as voluminous as it is. We didn't spare any space in the book. Anything that has to do with the commission is contained in that book. Of course, with amendment as time goes on to capture and catch up with evil deeds of men, which we are compelled to do anyway, to ensure that there is no pollution in the system. That is why this book is sacred and must be treated so at all times. As I said earlier, next to the Bible, the most sacred book applicable to all members of the body of Christ, this one is sacred to every member of the winner's family. It may not be useful in other ministries, but here, this is number one book that all of us must respect. What more? The mandate is about the truth. The mandate presents the truth about the vision. Everything about how God's servants received the vision is here. The doctrines, the 12 pillars of the commission, the diverse encounter that validate the mandate, the series of prophetic declarations as contained herein, and several other things you are looking for about this ministry is in the book. May we receive grace to walk orderly. May we receive grace to respect the law. You know, when you don't respect the law of any land, you get arrested for it. There are many people that have invited too many evil and negative things on their heads, right within the system. That's why, like I said earlier, the moment you discover that what's going on here does not suit you again, I beg you, all over the world, you are hearing right now, please, the moment you discover that anything here does not suit you, pass through the next door and look for somewhere else where you need to graduate to. If anything does not suit you in the university system, they give you paper for you to go out of the university because you are no longer controllable. But as long as you are here, pray for grace to align. And of course, you don't have to be here for all your life. I used to tell people, if you leave the church I pastor, maybe my ministry to you has ended. So quickly go to another place where you can survive and live well. Maybe you only pass through here for a while. Quickly go to the next place. But don't stay and be a destroyer. Don't stay and go around about persuading people, what about that red book? I don't believe in it. You are killing yourself. You are killing yourself without knowing. You are killing yourself without knowing. Don't speak against the book. You are free not to accept it. You are free to reject it, but don't speak against it while you are inside. You can't go to America and speak against America. No. If you are outside of America, you can be saying anything but no negative about America, but not when you are there. They will show you the way to the prison. Maximum prison. Where you cannot jump and, you know, go out. So, if the things here does not suit you, if you are a leader in any statutory body or cell leader, any part of the operation, comply with this book. Comply with this book. Comply with this book. Somebody is wondering, are they forcing us? No. We are just admonishing you with strong words. Or if you allow, giving you warning. Because there is place for admonition, there is place for instruction, and there is place for warning. So that you won't say, oh, I wish somebody told me, I would not have gone the way I've gone. You are not being told. You are not being warned. You have been admonished. You have been instructed. And finally, you have been warned. Don't go against the content of this book. That's why we call it the red book. It's covered by the blood of Jesus. And it's full of danger. Amen. You know, the blood covers the people who believe in it. And it fights for them when there is need to fight. May this book not fight you. I thought somebody saying amen to that. However, please note, anything not clear to you, ask with a pure mind. Don't be a critic. Be an observer. That's why we've given room to questions being asked and we have answered them. Ask questions. Ask questions, but with pure mind. Make observations, but don't be a critic. Make observations. This book is subject to questioning. You can ask questions, please. If it's not clear, you ask questions. And there will always be somebody from our level to the lowest who will take time to explain to you. So it's not about scaring people. It's about telling you the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You are blessed.
I say you are blessed. You are blessed. And you are blessed. Everyone who has been promoting and advancing the kingdom of God as it is allotted to us as a commission, you will be raised with this commission. You will be engraced in this commission. You will be empowered in this commission. Give God a big hand, everybody. Even though we may not have opportunity to meet again in this forum, we are still open to your questions, your views about certain things that are not very clear, and we can assure you we will reach you either personally or reach you in form of memo and adjustment of policies where they apply. We don't joke with any information that comes from anywhere, even from churches that are planted last year. No, we don't joke with it. We take every matter serious. We call everyone who call us. We respond to every, you know, view being expressed, because we are all members of the body building the church together. So we count so much on your views. We count so much on your observations. We don't take it lightly. Please continue to communicate, freely expressing yourself. And that's why we have access to all levels. If you are in a church that is local, you report to the area. If the area doesn't listen to you, you can copy the district. If the district doesn't listen to you, you copy the state. If the state doesn't listen to you, you copy the mission head office. If the mission head office doesn't listen to you, you copy the presidency at Canaan Land here. So we have open system of communication. And all the addresses are there. So there is nothing secret. If somebody is trying to silence you in speaking the truth, raise your voice. Like they ask people in Lagos to be doing. So it's okay. So it's allowed in the ministry. You sort us okay. Amen. That is, you raise your voice. That they won't kill us here. Oh. Please come and rescue us. Amen. You are blessed. Please rise to your feet. Let's wave our hands and give thanks to God. Amen. Well, let me quickly remark here on the behalf of God's sermon and my co-laborer that is here, that God has helped us to stand on the behalf of the ministry. Your secret labor in the kingdom shall be rewarded by heaven. Amen. Say loud, amen. Amen. Now, God's servant Bishop Oyedepo is the undertaker. God brought us here to be partakers. But beyond partakers, we must end as caretakers. Members are partakers. Leaders are caretakers. God's servant Bishop Oyedepo, the undertaker. Nobody can compete with that position. God saw him, he called him and gave it to him. And he called all of us to become partakers. But after partaking, become a caretaker. That's the only way to prove your leadership. Leaders are caretakers. God called Moses. Raise your hands, sir. Your two hands. And Aaron, one hand. Help. No. Hold his shoulder up. And Hur, hold it up this way. So that he will not be weary. So that his hand will not be down. You know, if you are close to leadership and you give him concern, it can break him down. So the closer we are to leadership, the more sensitive we should be in holding up the hand of our leader. As caretaker. May none of us here end up as a burden. Amen. Say loud, amen. Amen. Moses, you can put your hand down. Amen. So as caretaker, we must bear the burden. He said, call the 70 elders, and I will take the spirit which is upon you and put upon them that they may bear the burden. Members could be burdens to the leader because they are sent there, so the leader can carry their burden, but leaders cannot afford to be the same with them. Leaders are burden bearers. So if you are in any statutory body, you are to help the local pastor to bear the burden. Not an accuser. Not a confrontational person. To bear the burden. Choir leader,
you bear the burden. Sanctuary keeping leader, you bear the burden. Associate pastor, you bear the burden.
At our level, there are things we handle that we don't have to let God's servant know.
Why? Bearing the burden. If we report to him everything that's happening, we want to kill him.
Sir, they are fighting in Owerri. Right now, they are fighting there. Serious fight. Very serious fight. Chairman church board, cutlass in his hand. Chairman elders council. And the man is very old. If they hit themselves, they will die. Sir, this is the situation report. What do we do? That's reporting to the president of the ministry.
We want to kill him. So what do we do?
At the state level, we handle the affairs of the state.
And the one that filters through our ear at mission head office, we quickly handle it. And only report to the president.
Sir, in case you hear of something like this, we have already handled it.
We have already handled it. That's how leaders should be. That's how it should be. So leaders are, shock absorbers. We have to absorb the shock in our local assemblies. That's how to be a caretaker. Your heart is there. You don't want anything to happen wrongly. You want to protect the interest of the ministry. That's how to be a caretaker.
Not that anything that happens, let it happen. After all, we have been warning them. We have been advising them. They won't listen to our... We have written several memos. They don't listen to us. So anything that happens, let it happen. In fact, let the church just scatter. There are people like that. There are people like that. Say with me, I'm not just a partaker. I'm a caretaker. Now, if the owner of a house gives you the house to be a caretaker, and you say it doesn't concern you, the commission you get for being a caretaker will be withdrawn. So for the sake of your commission, you make sure they clean the house. Especially when the landlord is coming. So he can commend you that, I've never seen a caretaker like you before. In fact, you won't pay rent for 5 years. That's how we enjoy the grace of leadership. That's how we enjoy the grace of leadership. And on this note, therefore, if you can lift up your hand, everyone under the sound of my voice, I speak over your life with a liberation voice, which God's servant declare from time to time, you will not miss your reward. Yeah. At this celebration time of the 40th year of the ministry, may our access into the promised land distinguish you. God knows how you have been serving him. I decree that God, who has brought his servant to the place of reward, will take you there. In the name of Jesus. Joshua and Caleb believed in the leadership of Moses, and it showed in their lives. Those who didn't believe couldn't enter the promised land. By the reason of your service, you have demonstrated your faith in the leadership. As our Moses has entered into this promised land, so your own portion shall be allotted to you. Your own portion shall be allotted to you. You have been faithful in partaking and caretaking of the commission. I decree that the undertaker's grace will find full expression upon your life. The undertaker's grace will find full expression upon your life. Be blessed. Be rewarded. Be blessed. Be rewarded. Rewarded with good health. Rewarded with longevity. Rewarded with wisdom. Rewarded with open doors. Rewarded with financial favor. Rewarded over your children. Rewarded over your household. In the name of Jesus. Everything that's of a concern to you, the way you have been showing concern for the well-being of the commission, it shall be fully reflected upon your life. The way you have shown care to the well-being of the commission, God will show you care in your family. He will show you care in your business and career. He will cater for you. He will show you love. He will show you favor. He will lift you up. Your hands will never be empty. Grace will multiply upon your life. Paul said, ye all are partakers of my grace. There are certain graces that distinguish this ministry. as you go from here, from this prophetic feast in this leadership empowerment summit, they will be practically reflecting in your life. Very soon, people will refer to you that truly you are serving the God of this commission. That truly you are serving the God of this commission. All your mockers will soon come back to beg you. They will soon come back to testify that you are serving the living God. So shall it be. In Jesus' precious name. Pray in the Holy Ghost to drink into that blessing. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost to drink into that blessing. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' wonderful name we are praying. Should there be anyone here with sickness in his or her body, including those of us who are connected across the globe, the mandate says the hour has come to liberate the world from all oppressions of the devil, including sickness. Therefore, by this liberation unction, that sickness dies now. Get back for your medical checkup, and they will tell you the stranger is no longer there. Wave those beautiful hands and give glory to God. Give glory to God.